And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. The title, The Daily Belief. The Daily Belief. I didn't say The Daily Brief. I said The Daily Belief. Plus, we're going to look at trust in both. Now, what does that mean? Well, you'll have to wait to understand. Mirror our faith. And then we'll close it out with Stewards of Salvation.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. You see, you survive, that's barely treading water. Living is when you're above the water, like on, you know, an inflatable. Prevailing is when you're starting to walk up top the water. That's what we're talking about. Politics, maybe, maybe not. Entertainment, current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? I know it's a phone, but it won't kill you. 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation, because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Stand by.
David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The greeting card industry might look forward to Mother's Day even more than our moms do.
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey for Thursday, May 11th.
I used to work at a greeting card store, and Mother's Day was the busiest time of the year. A lot more men came in the store, and they usually needed help picking out cards for their mothers.
Yes, we men have been flocking to the store this week looking for that perfect Mother's Day card. It's not exactly the way Anna Jarvis envisioned the holiday. She came up with the idea of Mother's Day and convinced the U.S. government to officially recognize it. But she wasn't a big fan of the greeting card industry. Anna feared Mother's Day was becoming too commercialized. She thought that greeting cards were for people who were too lazy to write letters. She figured children were buying their mother's chocolate candy just so they could eat it themselves. Anna became so disgusted that she spent her latter years trying to have the celebration abolished. One final thought. I don't think there's anything wrong with buying your mom a card or candy for Mother's Day this year. But honor needs to go deeper than that. Why don't you give your mom a tribute, a written tribute of how she has sacrificed her life for yours? It may be the most important Mother's Day gift you ever give your mom. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn earrings today.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Michaela's got, like, the best earrings.
Sarah, buckle up.
I wish my name was Michaela.
We're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
It can be tough getting through the kids, but it's your job to make sure they're wearing your seatbelts. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. If you want to reach the show, David Swin at KPRZ.com. I do want to say this, just for people that do not know, if you are familiar with Reverend Clyde E. Gaines, he passed away on Sunday, so they're going to be doing a celebration ceremony, so to speak, and that's going to be taking place next week, and we're going to get you some additional information about Greater Trinity Baptist Church at Ocean View Boulevard, 3146 Ocean Boulevard. He was there as the pastor for 38 years. That is a very long time. And that's somebody who is serving in the kingdom of God. And so we encourage you to honor that. If you want more information, you can always contact us. There's going to be a viewing on Monday the 15th, a viewing on Tuesday the 16th, and the burial is going to be taking place at Miramar National Cemetery. If you need more information, get in touch with the station. I'll get it to you. Recognize this was just given to me, so I do not have that information for our receptionist. So just have her patch you through to my line, and I'll give you the info. Always good to honor those who have served in the kingdom of God. And let's say this in regards to ministers who spend their lives, working towards people growing in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they spend a lifetime doing that. And their reward is just beginning, so to speak, in that sense. It's interesting on this side of the ballpark, but on the other side of the ballpark, they're really good seats. And so that's what you want. And so we say amen. And for every minister that has given of themselves in any capacity to advance the kingdom of God, we are strongly in support of that. And thank you for that. And hope that the Lord blesses you in and on all things. Next hour, we're going to give a kind of a recap on the Cross International campaign. I will tell you this. When the guys left, when Rob and Tom left yesterday, Bob and Tom left, it was Robert or Bob. When they left, we were trying to get to 250 children that we were saving their lives. And we were at 246 lives saved, but they couldn't access the last 5 or 10 minutes. And now they're on a plane and they cannot be reached. So as you know how the Lord teaches you patience and all those little things. So I was praying, you know, yesterday we'd have 250 kids by the end of the show tomorrow, and that may have been answered. I just do not know if that's the case or not, which I think is a fascinating element in the Christian walk, where you could pray a prayer, and that answer could actually be there, but not revealed to you in the time frame that you thought it might be. But that doesn't mean it wasn't answered. Doesn't mean it wasn't answered in the affirmative. I mean, it could be answered negative or the affirmative, but it's an interesting element because I have to encounter that just like you do, just in everyday things.
I think just to put your mind at rest, a few listeners out there should go ahead and call the number and donate.
Just in case there was something missing, I think what Tugboat Todd is trying to allude to is that for $39, you can save a child's life by feeding them for a year. That's a long time. It's a fantastic investment in the kingdom. There's nobody's going to argue with feeding kids. There's just zero. But this is kids that in no fault of their own are in that situation where our $40 can make a difference. 866-843-9500. We're just going to encourage you to do it. I'm going to teach in just a second. 866-843-9500. If you feel like, you know, I'd like to contribute to One Child, great. And it's just fantastic. If you want to, you know, I can do $20, great. I can do $100, great. Whatever. I don't even care about the amount. What I care about are the hearts of the people in San Diego, which have proven to be generous beyond the norm. They were more than complimentary for our audience, and I appreciate that. All right, we're not going to do any live reads right now because I want to get into the teaching. And the teaching is, I think, well, I hope it will be not just interesting, but important for you to understand. I want to talk about the daily belief. Do we have a sound for that? Let's play that.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes.
That's right. So all the days of the week would be named. Why? Because this is called the Daily Belief. Now, let's understand what it is we're talking about. Here is something you should understand. This is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see. A lot of people try and make this definition just a one-liner, and there are other definitions within Scripture that give you an understanding of faith. But Hebrews 11:1 is just a great way to do it, and it doesn't matter which translation. It's coming down to that same principle. Faith is confidence in what you're hoping for. It's not just hoping for something. It's the confidence that that is going to come to pass. That's where faith is operating. Faith is an assurance for what is not in the palm of your hand, then it will be in the palm of your hand. And that's an important element, and I want you to understand something about faith, because this is the principle that we need to walk in. God created multiple principles in the universe. One of the key or chief principles is our engagement by faith. It's what He has declared is going to be our mode of operation. But I want you to understand something, because on this show, we spend a great deal of time, and I think Tugboat Todd would probably attest to this, we spend a great deal of time talking about faith for what we encounter. Because as people, we wake up and we have no idea what the day is going to bring. In fact, unless you're extremely confident in everything you ever see on television, which doesn't make you too bright. That you recognize that you can wake up and the weather can be different. The weather can be one way. I remember when I was getting bar mitzvahed in Detroit, Michigan, and the weather people were absolutely certain it was going to snow 2 or 3 inches that next day. Okay, there was going to snow 2 or 3 inches. Then the day after that was going to be my bar mitzvah. So I think it was a Thursday night to a Friday snowstorm. 16 inches later, paralyzed Detroit for a day. My dad, who was in construction, had bulldozers brought into our neighborhood to plow the neighborhood. Now, he was a little cheap because then he went on and tried to collect money from everybody. But he did it so that people can get to the party. I'm just telling you what happened. So you don't always know what that next day is going to bring. And sometimes faith is in order for us to encounter that which we're going to encounter. There's another principle that faith is involved with. But I want you to understand this first one. Faith is situational. You get a situation, you got to bring faith into it. Okay, that's what you got to do daily, because you don't know what you're going to encounter daily. When you wake up, you need, if you're not going to do it through Scripture, you better connect to it in some capacity, but you need to be reminded that faith is on the requirement list for you as you get up and face the day. That's what God wants. But it's not just faith for what we deal with, and I want to talk about that as well. It's faith for who we deal with. It's not just faith for what we deal with, it's faith for who we deal with. In other words, faith is situational, and it is. We understand that. We understand that we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. There's nobody that needs to have a secondary lesson to understand that's an important part of this. But faith is also relational. And I want you to catch that nuance or that difference. That faith in and of itself is situational, and faith is relational. It's an interesting element because the people that we are closest to, watch this, typically get the least forgiveness in our forgiveness pool. It's so bizarre. It's the one thing that I will confess and acknowledge, and anybody I've ever talked to says the exact, it's like the most bizarre thing. You have this high level of expectation to the people that are close to you in your circle. And if they do something wrong, you're much more apt as a Christian to hold them to a standard by which grace and mercy have to be, you know, pushed through versus people that you have no idea who they are. They do something incorrect or wrong, and you just immediately extend forgiveness because you want to be like Jesus. But when it comes to somebody you're close to, that's why faith has to be not just an operation for situations, but faith has to be an operation for relationships. Now, we're going to talk about what those different styles of relationships are. We're going to talk about it from three different points of view. But I want you to catch that one truth, just a truth, not even that complex. The people that should get the most forgiveness, the greatest amount of mercy, the greatest amount of space in the universe, in your little world, are the people you're closest to. So do they? And if they don't, then you're not using faith in your situations and in your relationships. And we want to change that. So that's what we're going to talk about and work on. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted KPRZ partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
A new study tells parents to get their kids off the couch. It's better for them and the economy. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Detmer. More and more children are not getting as much exercise as they need. Recess has been cut in some schools, and when they're home, technology keeps them inside staring at a screen. But new research finds that if children remain sedentary, we'll all pay for it, literally. Based on the study out of the Global Obesity Prevention Center at Johns Hopkins University, we could save $120 billion annually on health care and other costs. Other research finds that kids are at their peak activeness at 7, and then it goes downhill from there. In the U.S., two-thirds of children barely get any exercise. While that obviously presents problems for those children and their families, this study looked at what the widespread cost would be for everyone. The researchers created avatars that represented children between 8 and 11 and used public data to have them grow up and deal with the health problems that often accompany obesity. The study looked at the cost for the health care needed to treat the infirmities and also the cost of the loss of productivity. They found if children would either move around for 75 minutes a week or an hour a day, health costs went down $120 billion. The study's lead author, Bruce Lee, told the New York Times, this study was proof that we all have reasons to care about childhood inactivity. These days, health insurance is incredibly expensive, especially if you don't have coverage through your employer. If you're concerned about the costs or the ethical dilemmas of insurance, here's great news. There's an affordable, God-honoring alternative called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare, affordable, biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. This segment brought to you by Sam Rasul, our very good friend Sam Rasul. Let's keep this one straight. If you're looking to do anything in real estate at all, and things are looking pretty interesting in the real estate market, if you're looking to sell your home, if you're looking to buy a home, if you don't want to rent, or if you want to downsize, you want to get in touch with Sam, thinksam.com is his website. And you can call him at 858-780-1SAM. The thing to remember about Sam is, one, he doesn't just walk around with a drill. Two, what he does do is he will spend time with you, making sure that you know what the actual value of your house is, not just based on comparables, comps, but on all factors. And then if you need work on your house to sell it, he will forward up to $25,000 to put work into the house so that it's ready to go and ready to sell. And then when it closes, he takes the money back out at the close of escrow, doesn't charge any interest. That's the kind of commitment he makes to his clients. ThinkSam.com. That's who you want to talk to and where you want to go. And if it's not you and it's somebody else, then Tugboat Todd and I say, send them to Sam. There we go. Send them to Sam. I like it. Okay. Good job. All right. Two things. One, Tugboat Todd and I were just discussing that we might do something that we've talked about doing for years. We have to be careful, and I have to get permission, by the way. I can't just do this because they don't let me just do stuff. Have you noticed that? That's why I lock the door, so that by the time I'm done, it's too late. But we are going to see if they will let us do an hour broadcast on, what is that, that Facebook Live.
Yeah.
So that people can see what goes on here. If you think the show is crazy, you should see. It won't be any play acting or anything. It's the same stuff we do all the time. Stuff gets thrown back and forth. People run in and out. We might pull that off. So if you have any objections, my comment to that would be, don't use Facebook.
Talk about spoonanity. There'll be a lot of it.
Would be a lot of it, right? People seeing our expressions back and forth. Oh, my goodness.
People could just see what you have to deal with as a host. As you sit there, as you know, Craig the engineer walks by and does stuff, and Noah and
yeah,
Joseph,
it's like a fishbowl.
They do the elevator thing, you know.
Right, and then they do swimming, fake swimming past the window. Greg walks by, he has a drill in his hand, you know. It's just that kind of thing. Anyway, let's get to our next segment, and our next segment is called Trust in Both. We have a sound for that as well. Let's go. Good play. Good job. Let's talk about it. We've been talking about the Daily Brief, using faith not just for situations, but for relationships. There's nobody out there that does not understand that we are called in many capacities to trust in God. That is the first place the relationship is discussed. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." There are people out there that are trying to do all of these wondrous things, but if you want to impress God, have faith. Faith is a requirement in our communion and our relationship with God. There's no way around it. And one of the things that you and I could use a little faith in is in the image of God, especially when we're praying. You get a passage like Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Just listen real quickly. Ask and it'll be given. Seek and you will find. Knock, the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the doors will be opened. Which of you, if you had a son who asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God is a giver, and we need to have faith in God and faith that he is a giver. Too many times do we approach the throne of God thinking God is stingy and he's got a bag, and whatever he's going to pull out of that bag to give you and I, it's like you got to pry it out of God's hand. That does not impress God that we think that way, and we should not think that way. That is inappropriate. We need to have faith in God. I don't think anybody's having any problems with that. Here's one you're going to struggle with. You need to have faith in one another. Uh-oh. Here's where we have a problem. It's hard enough to have faith in God who's perfect. Now we're going to talk about having faith in people who are not. Right? Is that a leap off the ledge? You bet it is. But here's the reality check. Love believes. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes and always perseveres. When you operate with one another, you need to operate in love. We're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Let me ask you this question. In loving yourself, you do want the benefit of the doubt, right? I mean, for when people are dealing with you, loving, if you're going to love somebody the way that you love, you know, you love people to love you, you want people to believe in you. You want people to trust in you. You want people to have confidence in you. You want people to give you the benefit of the doubt. You want people to interpret your actions and your words with the spirit by which you mean them. Well, that's what we have to extend to other people. In other words, when somebody does something, the worst thing we do, which I do every single day, is interpret somebody's actions in less than love. Every day. I think I do it every day. I think I do it every day driving to work and driving over. The place where it happens, to work and home from work. I'm not even sure I extend it to my dog, let alone to people. I'm serious. I'm just like this thing where you're like, they did this on purpose. And that is more accusatory than love, right? Well, who's the accuser? And so you have to recognize where these things come from. You just think, oh, I'm just in a grumpy mood. You're going to find out in today's Facebook post, it's not just a grumpy mood. Sometimes you're in a particular mood and susceptible to suggestion or to temptation or to action that you shouldn't take. That's completely different. But what I am saying is this. You ready for this one? Oh, ready? All right. Let's say you have a person that you have a relationship with. Let's say they are Christians and you have a relationship with them, right? You are supposed to trust the Jesus Christ in the other person. You know that, right? When you go to church and somebody looks at you funny, it should not be interpreted as somebody is mad at you, awkward, being stuffy, snotty, or any of those other negative things. And that's what the devil uses and drives divisions and creates wedges and builds walls. The person said this to me, boy, they're just insensitive. They're not caring. I can't believe they said that, did that, looked this way. I can't believe they looked at me awkward. What if they were getting a kink out of their neck? And you thought they were looking at you like you were like a loon. You see what I'm saying, though? Those interpretive moments are enormous. And we need to do a better job. We need to have faith in God. There's just zero question about that in this process. And we need to believe that he's a giver. That's an absolute. But you and I need to believe in one another. There needs to be a confidence. There's one thing that you can give sports that could teach Christian churches. And that is when a team reaches the point of championship, most of the time it is a unity of selflessness to promote the greater good and the interpretations of actions being on the healthy side of winning versus on the bad side of, you know, divisions. They demonstrate that well in sports. The church doesn't always demonstrate that very well. Guess what? You're the church, and it starts where you are, where you work, and where you live, and where you hang out. It's got to start there before it's going to transform into the church at large. Everybody has a responsibility in this. Everyone. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
When God gives us a new beginning, we find a joy that's never ending.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Dave Brannan. An elderly woman named Violet sat on her bed in a Jamaican infirmary and smiled as some teenagers stopped to visit with her. The hot, sticky midday air came into her little group home unabated, but she didn't complain. Instead, she began racking her mind for a song to sing. Then a huge smile appeared, and she sang, "I'm running, skipping, jumping, praising the Lord." As she sang, she swung her arms back and forth as if she were running. Tears came to those around her, for Violet had no legs. She was singing because she said, "Jesus loves me, and in heaven I will have legs to run with." Violet's joy and hopeful anticipation of heaven give new vibrancy to Paul's words in Philippians 1, when he referred to life and death issues. Verses 22 and 23 tell us, "If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me," he said. "I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." Each of us faces tough times that may cause us to long for the promise of heavenly relief. But as Violet showed us joy, despite her current circumstances, we too can keep running, skipping, praising the Lord, both for the abundant life He gives us here and for the ultimate joy that awaits us. Now you can get Our Daily Bread delivered fresh to your inbox. Sign up for the email devotional when you visit odb.org. That's odb.org. Thanks for listening to Our Daily Bread. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Are you sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? Are you sure that your sins have been forgiven?
Billy Graham.
You say, "Well, Billy, I'm not sure I'm a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned." Do you know what sin is? It's a breaking of the Ten Commandments. If you've ever told one lie, then the Bible says you've broken all of them. And we're all guilty before God. And we're facing judgment and we're facing hell.
Thankfully, there's hope. If you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, His death on the cross takes away the penalty for your sins.
There's the promise of a new life, forgiveness of sins, a chance to start over. He said, "Be born again." You can be born again spiritually and start life all over as though you'd never committed a sin if you come to Christ.
Are you ready to start over with Christ? We'll tell you how at findpeacewithgod.net from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
And I hear another voice that's calling me. Calling me.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Getting ready to get into a very deep subject. Before we do that, let's talk about a ministry we strongly support, and that is Whitefields Ministries with our good friend Steve Wheeler, Coral, his wife. Steve is going to be in tomorrow. He'll be in tomorrow, and he's going to tell us a little bit of information about his trip to Japan. So for those that pray for him and for those that give and for those that are just a part of that ministry, tomorrow's going to be kind of cool because we'll get some breakdowns on his trip and he'll get to share with us. And that stuff's so awesome because you get to hear how the gospel is advancing, what the Lord is doing in places that you're not familiar with, and you get to hear it from somebody who you have confidence in and reliability in because he is a trustworthy source and resource. Isn't that cool?
You know, I think your show's like the hub. Your guests are always coming in from somewhere, going somewhere, from Hawaii to here, Japan to there. It's awesome to see the fellowship is worldwide.
It is worldwide. You know what's really funny, though? I can't figure out if they're doing that because it's San Diego, and if you're going to say, well, Steve lives here, but I mean the other people, if it's just a great place to stop. It's like, well, go see Dave, and in the meantime, and then there's just like, you know, they just, you know. They go check out the city. It's like, you know, I'm not trying to say anything offensive to other cities like Cleveland, but I mean, you don't go there to go, gee, I want to go there. You know, you go to San Diego. Anyway, one thing has nothing to do with the other. So I'm just encouraging you to go to whitefields.org. He's got videos, testimonies, pictures, different things going on. I know they've already loaded up some of the pictures from Japan. He's going to come in, and while we're talking on the air, he's going to hold his phone in front of my face and show me like 15, 20 pictures. You won't be able to see a single one of them. But if you go on the website, you would. You see, that's how you got to kind of, that's how you got to play this part of this element. And because we're not doing the live Facebook tomorrow, really, you need to actually go on the website to see those pictures. Whitefields.org. Whitefields.org from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34. You can always give them a call and talk to them, 760-846-8610, 760-846-8610. You will have a chance to hear from Steve tomorrow. He's just a good friend. The one of the few people that I have confidence. We do a lot of replays. If Steve is available, I'll use him as a guest host. That's a lot of confidence, even if you think about it. All right. Let's get into the next section. This is going to be the hardest part, and somebody's going to, you know, inevitably somebody calls in and complains about this stuff, but this part's okay. Let's play the song, but before we play the song, this is not an endorsement of the person, the person's beliefs, or their lifestyles. That is our disclaimer. Go ahead. Okay, so the reason that we went with Man in the Mirror, for those that don't know, is that's actually based on a passage, in case you didn't know, about looking straightway in the mirror and walking away forgetting what the person sees. It comes in the, I think it's James. It's either James or First Peter. It's just slipping my brain right now because I had too much tea just now. All right, anyway, the bottom line is this. Faith is something that we've been discussing as something that we need to use situationally. And everybody can understand that. We walk by faith and not by sight. But faith is also something we use relationally. And we have a relationship with God through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And that relationship connecting point is faith. That's what God has chosen as the modus operandi for us to engage with him, the mode of operation. And additionally, we need, as people that pray, to have faith that God is a giver and not some stingy Grinch who's up there trying to hold on to the answer to prayer so it doesn't come flying to us. It's like, I don't know what planet that's from. And then we're supposed to have faith for others, and therein lies probably, I think, one of the toughest issues, is we're actually supposed to have a mindset that interprets with faith other people's actions and words, believing the best about someone's actions. Yikes. I'm not just guilty, I'm mega guilty. I'm mega guilty on steroid guilty, mega guilty. I mean, I don't do it the right way. And the point is that we're supposed to trust the Christ in each other. Now, I don't believe that that is a necessary requirement for every person you engage with, but it is a necessary requirement for those who are believers. There's no space, zero. You know, if you have a brother or a sister, you're supposed to believe the best about your brother or sister. That's a call from Scripture. Just look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and concentrate on verse 7. You'll see it. You can't miss it. You know, it's by this that shall all men know by, you know, that you're my disciples, by your love one for another. Okay, got it. Here's the last part of this. First part, you got to have faith in God. Second part, you got to have faith in one another. Third part, you got to have faith in, ready for the third person? You. Now, I need to clarify, because people get into prosperity this and this, that, and, you know, speak this and open up a bag and get millions of dollars here and get the lotto tickets here and just forget all that stuff. Here's what I want you to get. The enemy is no dummy. He's been dealing with humanity for 5,000 years. Consider yourself somewhat wise in dealing with people. Now, take that 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years and add 5,000 years to it. How smart are you to deal with people? Pretty smart. And what the enemy tries to do right out of the gate is he tries to help us operate in self-doubt on everything we do. And you think, well, how do you come to that? Well, Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 says the tempter came to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God. The first thing Satan said to Jesus was questioning who Jesus was. It's the first thing he does. If that is written in Scripture, do you think it's written in Scripture so we can all go, it's written in Scripture so we can use it, so we can get it. Hey, Satan, he tries to drop self-doubt on everybody. Because what happens if you operate in this extreme self-doubt? You're like Eeyore, nothing's good, there's no confidence, you never move forward, everything's horrid. It's just like a dreaded existence. What do you think he wants you to be? You're a child of the Most High God. The King of Kings has singled you out as one of his citizens. He doesn't want to hear, Satan doesn't want to hear from you at all. He just wants to sideline you. Get over there. You say nothing, I'll be better off. And so he just shoots at us, self-doubting and just this loathing of ourselves and this discouragement of ourselves. Ironically, it's Jesus who comes with the exact opposite teach in Mark 9:23 that says, Jesus said, if you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for the one who believes. Jesus talks about unlimited possibilities with God. Satan talks about doubting your very self at your core. You see that difference? So you do need to have faith in God and the fact that he's a giver. And you do need to have faith in brothers and sisters, believing the best about them, interpreting with goodness their actions and their words. And you need to use some of that faith on yourself, not that you're self-sufficient, independent from God. But you can't operate against yourself if you're a child of the Most High God. Do you get what that means? Do you know what conflict within creates? When you fight within yourself and you stay in the constant state of fighting within yourself, you're in constant chaos and nothing gets done. But when you can take a step forward, and let me ask you this question so you can just answer it right in with me. What can't you do with God? I mean, what is it? What is it? You know, I mean, I'm not talking about theologically the obvious. I'm talking about what is it that if you are with God, then what is held back from you in accomplishing things that are good and right? Do you think that the people that have done all the ministries they've done over thousands and thousands of years who've done these ministries with God, do you think that there was, you know, some unique element that they were given that only they could ever do it? Look how many millions of people have reached out to other people with the love of God. You can do that. That's not outside of your wing. That's not outside of your realm. In God, everything is possible. The ministry that gets birthed in your heart and your mind was birthed in your heart and mind by a partnership between you and the Lord. Now, whether you act on it or not, it's a completely different issue. But between you and the Lord, it's a majority if it's in the Lord. But what does the devil do? Yeah, you can't do nothing. You're not even him. You're worthless. You're so full of sin, who could use you? I don't know. Peter was so full of sin, he denied Jesus three times, and then he preached this really big sermon, and thousands of people came to accept Jesus Christ and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they built something called the church. Wow, that's pretty impressive. Mark jumped off the ministry trail and ended up writing a gospel. Not too shabby. Paul was murdering Christians, ended up building the church. Give me that. The devil tries to keep people in these horrid places. But once they recognize that with God they can do anything, you move out of that realm and into the realm of everything is a possibility. And if it's a partnership, it'll happen as long as you're partnering. So look in the mirror and see if there's faith with God, faith with one another, and faith for yourself connected to God. All right, take a short break and then come back. And we're going to understand something that it eclipses all of this. And that's the stewardships of salvation. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Everyone knows of the contributions of Thomas Edison. His many inventions were groundbreaking in their day and revolutionized modern life. But what was it about Edison that caused him to be so inventive? Well, perhaps these words of his reveal the reason. Restlessness and discontent, he said, are the first necessities of progress. I believe there is a healthy version of spiritual restlessness and discontent that can lead us to greater progress in our relationship with God and our relationships with others. If you are not content with your spiritual life, that realization can be the first step on the road to progress. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover how to make progress with God on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
I had two friends that gave me great pieces of advice.
Karen Eamon on today's Focus on the Family Minute, recalling some encouraging words that helped her get through a difficult time with her child.
One of them said, everything good is still in your child when your child maybe makes a bad choice. You know, whether that's, you know, when they're tiny and, you know, in Sunday school and their Sunday school teacher tells you something, you know, pushed a kid down or whatever, or when the school's calling you when they're older because they did something that they thought was hilarious, but the substitute teacher found no humor in, and now they're in trouble. That everything good is still in your child. It's just some of the bad behavior is overshadowing the good now, so don't just write them off and think you're a failure as a parent and they're doomed for prison because, you know, the school called one time. And then another friend told me, and this is especially, you know, when kids have done something that you're not real proud of, you're seeing the beginning of their testimony.
More insights and heart from Karen at FamilyMinute.org.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. Jesus taught that the merciful are blessed because they will receive mercy. And as Christians, we should be characterized by abundant mercy. In fact, James used mercy to illustrate true faith. He said, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says, go in peace, be warmed and filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, he said, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. As one who has received God's mercy, let mercy toward others be the hallmark of your life. That's evidence of true saving faith. This is John MacArthur, trusting your lives are portraits of grace.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A big shout out, by the way, to Anaheim. The Ducks winning their game last night, winning against Edmonton 7. So now they're in the next round. So good for them. You know, I can't watch the Red Wings. I got to watch somebody that's close. We're going to be in San Diego. So I got to do the best I can on that. But the Gulls did good too, right?
What's up?
I think the Gulls did good too, aren't they?
They actually lost.
Oh, they did?
I went to the game. Yeah, it was game 3. We lost. We were up 3-2 with 2 minutes to go, and San Jose Barracuda scored, went into overtime, which is sudden death, and the Barracuda scored, and we lost. So we're only down 2-1.
That's not bad.
A best of 7.
Yeah, long way to go. A long way to go, a lot of hockey, right? All right. All right, let's get into our latest return segment. It's called What's Bugging Me, brought to you by Ecola, Termite, and Pest Control. Let's have our music for that. Again, what's bugging me? Ecola Termite and Pest Control, ecolatermite.com. The phone number there, 800-332-BUGS, 800-332-BUGS. I could sit here and say what's bugging me is the media, but who's not bugged by that? I could say it's the New York Times because, for whatever reason, conservative outlets just think they're still the paper of record and they're no different than the National Enquirer. It's the same thing. So I'm going to tell you what's really bugging me, and I feel I'll get more identity with this than anything else. You ready? Here's what's bugging me. My belt. I don't like my belt. Why? It's not a nice belt? No, it's a fine belt. I mean, I had to use a little black magic marker on the little scratch on it because the little leather came up, so I used a little magic marker. Nobody can tell. That's not the problem. The problem is it has holes. And those holes never move. But my stomach does. And I don't like the belt telling me, hey, why don't you shed a few? That's what, right? It's a belt. Nobody has to say a word to you. By the way, you don't have to step on the scale. You can just tell because your belt says, arm stretching, right?
That's why you get a stretchy belt.
That's a good idea. I don't have a stretchy belt. I don't know if you can do that as a local director of ministry. Can you get a stretchy belt for that?
I don't see why not.
All right. I'm going to look and see if Salem has a stretchy belt. But that, by the way, that's what's bugging me, a belt with holes.
How about suspenders?
Love it. If Larry King didn't ruin it, I'd really think about it. But, dude, I mean, he ruined it. I mean, come on. That's all I can think about. All right, let's get into our very last segment. It is important, called Stewards of Salvation. There you go. Here we go. Yeah, that was a good
song. That was a remix.
I like it. It was a kind of a mix on a mix. I like that. Here it is. Having faith in God, we know that's required. We need to have faith that's not just situational but relational. Having faith in God, we get it. Having faith for others, interpreting with faith and believing the best about somebody's actions, that's called for. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 7. And then faith in ourselves so that we're not limiting ourselves by operating in nothing akin to faith. You don't want to operate in doubt because you don't get far in God. So you have to have a faith that between you and God, it can get done. Here's something I'm going to blow your mind with. How about this? God has faith in you. Oh, bing. I'm dropping a microphone. Wait. Okay, those were pencils. Hit it. Drop. There it is. Microphone dropped. Why? Because God has faith in you. Well, what do you mean? 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he was committed to us, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Here's what this means. He entrusted his gospel to you. The gospel is the greatest proclamation ever. And he entrusted you with it. He made you and I ambassadors of him. He gave us his reconciliation work. He gave us the ministry to communicate that, to tell people their sins don't have to down them because Jesus has provided salvation for them, and God demonstrates his faith in us by committing his gospel into our beings and lets us represent God. I want you to let that sink for a second. God trusts you with the greatest message ever. He has faith in you. He has confidence in you. He knows. And we are his stewards of the salvation he has created for people. In closing, just think of it in this way. No matter who we're dealing with, including ourselves, we have to operate with faith. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break. You'll hear Marty, then we'll be back for more. Don't go anywhere.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.